living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Yeah, maybe I better get a drink before I go. That's so pleasant, huh? Okay, a little bit of the cold coffee there. We're off into hour number two, Toward Anarchy. Go to towardanarchy.com. You're looking for November 1st. Matthew Wojtecki is my guest. Brushfire, a thriller novel. And Jason makes a good point. He says you can buy the book using Bitcoin. You could buy it at Amazon, but it's available at libertyunderattack.com. Liberty Under Attack, the publication a method that you chose, that you mentioned Shane Radliff a little bit in the earlier in the show. He's been a guest on the show. If you go to towardanarchy.com, look for November 1st, and you'll see I have links there that actually take you directly to the libertyunderattack.com website and the product for the product page for Brushfire and the Amazon link as well, whatever you prefer. Either way, support Matthew and pick up the book. And I have a copy that we'll give away in the show a little bit later too. We were just talking about really the ideas and putting these ideas forth and how to make them palatable for people, and that's sort of the trick. And in doing so and having that conversation, my aim is to sort of pick your brain a little bit for your process, just to find out, because I'm always curious to know what it is that drives a person to do something to begin with, particularly something with kind of a message. You know, is it the message that drove it first, or was it other things? Did you actually want to be who you are now, and the message just naturally fit or became a part of who you are as you went along? And so that's it's always interesting for me to know, because I can't separate the two. I think that there's probably a lot of people, maybe yourself included, you can sort of point to a period in your life. I mean, I that point in my life is back in my youth. It was in my formative years. I've never had any sort of problem understanding who it is that it are these people that call themselves anarchists and who don't believe that these assumed authority like the government, even through the process of voting, actually has the morality, let alone should be any sort of idea that any of the individuals would have in principle, that they could control other people's lives. And that's a hard message for some people to swallow, because we're so steeped in it. It's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think one thing to mention too is just kind of toward, I think when I was on my way to you know, doing research and everything for the book. And so I think I didn't really, since I was really on my way to becoming, an anarchist, I think I was sort of like experiencing the journey while I was writing. So so I think that motivated me to do a lot more research and then incorporate that into the book. So
that's a beautiful thing for me, because what you're doing is you're doing the thing. It's something that I talk about. It's the difference versus the study of it versus the action of it. And you're taking, it's really cool, it's a really neat thing. You're taking the study of it and turning it into action. in the pages of the book. And it's a really neat thing for me to be experiencing. And I want, did you see that as you were doing it, taking that, almost condensing everything that you had to learn over that period of time, let alone what you didn't know before, you know, that point in your life, and putting it into something that other people who would never even consider taking the time might pick it up just because it's a novel, it's a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I think it really just like the writing aspect of it really like was more of like a subconscious thing. Like I just I didn't really control the way the story went. Like I just let it kind of go the way it wanted to. And then like while I was doing that, I was just also like reading other books, like the Rothbard and everything. Okay. And then kind of sort of incorporating some of those things into the book. Like I mentioned, couple of the chapters where, Maxine and Henry, get involved in this, liberation cell. And so they go along with one of the characters that takes them to like their one of the outposts, and so they do that through like a secure like offline encrypted messaging type of a code system, similar to like maybe what would have been used in like the Underground Railroad type of thing, where they have somebody sets like a message to where the next meeting location is going to be, and they find it in like a black unmarked mailbox or whatever, and then that's how they find out where everyone is supposed to meet. And so it changes every time, and so that's I think how they get around like invading some of the authorities that way, is that like the meetings places always change. And then the other thing is like incorporating like the use of cryptocurrency, like a secure cellular devices, like, ghost pads, ghost phones, and those sort of things to just keep off the radar of the state. So,
and are those some of the things that you had to go out and spend some time researching?
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, I think even though it's a fictional story, like you can really see where some of these concepts are actually possible and are being used today. Like, I think one of the objections that I got early on with like use of Bitcoin and stuff was like, oh, you're never going to go out and buy, you know, a cup of coffee or something with Bitcoin. But, I've actually done that several times.
Yeah, that's not true. I'm one of those people that I get how all of that works. And so that you won't trick me into falling for that trap. Bitcoin has its other problems, and being able to use it to buy a cup of coffee is not one of them.
Yeah, I mean, like I've used it to do that. I've used it for other things, for bigger purchases. I mean, I've used it as much as possible, just more. I think more so than a store of value. Just getting out there and spending it, doing what it was intended to do, trading with other people.
It's a very good thing that you make that point, because of course, I would argue that. To be money, that it lacks that exact value, that exact function, that it doesn't have any ability to have a store of value, because while it may keep its wealth over time, the fact is that no matter what, There's no real world application for it. All money as defined to be a store of value, in my definition, maybe other people see it differently, it has to be able to do something other than to provide simple exchange. And that would be exactly what I would be talking about with Bitcoin having any problem at all. And that there's the only thing you can do with it is exchange. That's it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think, there was that bubble, I think, in 2016 or 17, like that, where, your grandma was asking you about Bitcoin and should I get into it or something.
But, sure.
but I think that maybe just, hopefully that encouraged a lot of people to look into it a little further than just...
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To actually understand the idea of using alternative currencies, period, let alone digital ones, and understanding the benefit of the technology, the idea, the things that go behind what's behind Bitcoin, which is now infinitely more important in my view. And that's the blockchain. And now on the blockchain, you have information on the blockchain because they have domain names that you can use instead of these big long addresses.
Yeah. I think there have been quite a few improvements, since early on. Since then, I think every time that I've used it, I haven't had really any problems as far as transfer rates or confirmations or something. It's always been very, very smooth for me. So buying books is a good idea for that.
Yeah.
You can do that on the libertyundertech.com website. So.
Get a little help in that direction. There's so many different ones out there, and then there's so many different tools to manage them, different wallets and things like that. So it really is something to try to understand. At this point, I tell people that it's kind of it's almost like a collector's market. You're definitely gambling on its ability to be traded somewhere else to be able to make it worth anything. But people are doing it. People are putting it out there, and they're making it available, and they're making it usable in their business. And that's really cool. It's a neat thing to see because it's one step away from it's one step closer to convincing people that currency and money are two different things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think just from the economic standpoint, as far as what we're currently experiencing, as far as the U.S. dollar and just the constant erosion of that of paper money and everything, it's certainly a good alternative, especially as the government keeps spending us into a giant black hole. So
it's huge. It's a big deal, and this is some of the detractors for the Bitcoin and stuff like that are trying to argue about the eventual, it's absolutely going to happen, conversion over to mostly digital currencies. And that's a weird thing to me, because that seems to me somebody who doesn't really understand what these things are, what currency is. It makes no difference the form currency takes. Currency fails the real world application outside of its ability, whether it's greenbacks or credit cards or Bitcoin or anything. Those aren't real things that can be used for something else other than exchange. So you can absolutely map exactly what they will do as long as interest in them holds and as long as they're not manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that was important to me, that I incorporated some aspect to that into the book. just kind of the use of those of the digital currency, and then and then I think like the encryption technology really was a thing that I wanted to write, you know, to make sure that I covered in there too, because I think that in the real world, I think that's a really important thing, is just use of encryption. That's really, I think, the a small advantage that you know, the individual has towards towards governments and you know, the NSA and all the agencies, and even even the, some of these massive tech firms that are using your data for profit. So
yo, absolutely. And it's great that you include these things in the book, and that we can talk about them like this, because this is all stuff that's in it's on my own mind. It's on, I think, probably most people's mind. There's some people that are completely oblivious to it and are happy to be that way, and good for them. But I think the rest of us are looking for ways that we can get along with the future, not try to fight it. And that includes this understanding, this base understanding of technology, and what at least what you're doing when you're using it, when you're allowing people to, when, well, you're going to play in their playground, their sandbox, like a place like Facebook, and you agree to their pages and pages of terms without reading them, and all the hazards that come with being so open to really the world. The things, if you don't want the world to know it, don't put it on your computer, and don't connect that computer to the internet, because those two things pretty much are the only things that require that information that you don't want to share to be out in the world, to be shared with everybody else. And yet people do it. It's kind of a weird thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And another thing, I think, just regarding Brushfire and just the way that I decided to write it, is that I think just kind of to be relatable to somebody that, you know, is going along just working the 9 to 5 and getting like a paycheck, and you know, maybe there's maybe you wonder there's maybe something more to the world than just you know, paying taxes and you know, getting into debt. So I think that was really what I tried to incorporate into the character Henry. And so he, you know, the moment that I think he runs into some different characters as the book goes on, like
right. Winston,
who you know, runs these like underground raves in a club, and so he's like kind of the anti-authoritarian type of a character that I wanted to just introduced to Henry. And then, so, you know, Henry's hasn't really experienced anything quite like that before. And so I think it just, you know, it happens pretty unexpectedly when he, you know, he finds this book and stuff and runs into Winston, and then eventually goes on the run from the law, like these agents try to track him down. And so, again, I mean, I think that's kind of the reason why I labeled it a thriller, is because it's, you know, most of the, once he, you know, makes the wrong people upset, or I think once he finds that book where he's not supposed to find that type of information, then he's basically seen as like a criminal. And I think in some ways, maybe in real life, that's like how we kind of feel, is we're just like outsiders now. We're definitely a minority, and among just, you know, the general collective that just likes to, you know, do the 9 to 5 job and you know, watch TV and just be comfortable. So
There, I mean, there's a lot of those people out there. They're definitely a majority. And so I don't know when you write something, when you talk about the things, you host a show, you do whatever it is, if you try, I think you have to, you cover all your bases. You know, you have to speak in the simplest of terms, and you have to go over it from beginning to end to really show them of a believable character. You see, he hasn't run into somebody like a Winston before. That to me speaks of somebody that is probably a normal person that doesn't deal in sort of black markets, that isn't likely to be found hanging out in a club maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, that he could end up finding the owner and the weird things that are going on in the back room. And we're talking to Matthew Wojtecki. Go to towardanarchy.com, look for November 1st, and we'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Make sure that you push the right button there if you want the people to hear you on the other end of the microphone there, smart guy who's been doing this for almost 30 years. Anarchist Matthew Wojtecki is my guest, and he's hanging out with me. We're about to say goodbye to him, but we've been talking about his novel, Brush Fire, a thriller, and some of the concepts that went into it and his process of coming about. And it's been just a great it's been a great conversation. It's good catching up with you again. You got another novel in you? Are you gonna do it again?
I was gonna mention that I actually am well underway into more of a, it's not a sequel, but it's more of a, like a volume two type of a thing in the Brushfire series. So it takes place in the not so distant future. And so that's kind of in the works for me. I've been working, working pretty hard on it just here and there. So,
and you're going to publish that with Liberty Under Attack Publications again, no doubt.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think so.
I'm gonna pitch that to Shane and see what he thinks. But yeah, and then I also want to mention the audiobook deal that's out there too. I noticed it the other day on the LUA website. I think it's like $20 or something for 4 or 5 different audiobooks, including Brushfire, which I think that's a 15-hour audiobook, which and a lot of times, like I think not a lot of people have a lot of time to read, so it's a good thing to listen to, while people are working from home or working from wherever. I know I'm still working from home, so.
It's funny. I was kind of talking about that earlier in the show, just the fact that, kind of everybody is working. I'm used to it and sort of working alone, even in my own sort of enclosed booth and space where I'm like, people can't even breathe on me and stuff. So it's, I'm kind of used to this world.
Right. I just thought I'd mention that too. Because I know I've listened to it already, and they've done a really good job, like the narrators and stuff, a lot of different voices and stuff that they use. So it's very well done. So
is that right? It's not just one person reading it with some vocal inflection, but it's actually people doing the voices and character.
Yeah, and I think, and that's also. Wow. On Audible too, if anyone has like an Audible subscription, they can just search that. That's up on Audible now, so,
and listen to it anytime under their subscription.
Yep.
Hey, that's really cool. I did not realize that you had that going. I know I've seen, on the social media, Shane, every once in a while put out a call for voices or something like that to read some of the stuff and do that, but I didn't realize it was being handled almost like a radio play or something there.
Yeah. There's, the female characters are done by Miriam, who also actually did the cover design too. So she's a very talented artist. And so that's another big thing too. So
that's great. No, that's what comes together when you get great minds together and you think, oh, let's do a thing and let's put out good work and let's do it for the love of the work and let's do it for the quality of the work and conduct some good business and share some ideas all in the same time. It's a really cool thing that you're doing as an author yourself, but then, Shane and all the guys over there at LUAP, Liberty Under Attack Publications. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's been really, really great working with those folks over there at LUA Pub. And then also, I think one thing I did want to mention too was in terms of, if the holidays are coming up and you want to give a gift or something, I think it's good. It's a good kind of a book to give to somebody maybe that, or a friend that maybe does have some objections or maybe you just have some trouble talking to them about your beliefs.
What do you think the cutoff age is? What do you think? You think you give it to a 15 or 16 year old, or you think it's older?
I think it might be a little older than that. I think it's got, got a little vulgarity in it, but
may not be appropriate depending on the parent. Listen, brother, it's been great talking to you again. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me. I'll be glad to have you back on again, and good luck with the new novel. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime, brother.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network with your host, Michael Storm.
You may be right, but I don't think so. I don't think the math of the science says that you're right. But I think it might be like a meta idea or a meta event type thing I've talked about before. not as important as what people can use it for or misuse it for. So I can't do it. I won't do it. It's just not. No, not going down that particular path. Let me drop a couple of ideas. Are you relative size and distance? And then here's one. As they say, there's no way that we could be moving through space as fast as we are. And that's part of the relative size and distance thing. What was the other thing that they, one of the other, that's so easy to just, that just kind of occurred to me. That's like one of those things that's like, oh, yeah, when you have a little bit of understanding of science, or at least, you know, just what we can understand of anything, anywhere, at any time, given our limited capacity and our limited existence individually, just having this little bit of understanding and seeing the Coriolis effect. You know what I'm talking about? That's that water turns one way in one hemisphere and turns a different way in another hemisphere when it's draining. So that's kind of one of those things. It's like you can look at it, and if you understand some of those others, you get, oh, okay, I get it. Now maybe there's another explanation for why we don't fly off the planet. It's going however many tens of thousands of miles an hour, spinning around in circles as we fly through space and in another direction at another speed. There's reasons. I'm not sure why. I see it. It's one of the first things that I'll disconnect you. It's gonna be like, no, we're not. No, no. I don't have time to get past that layer of. I don't want to call it stupid, but man. That layer of something that I get, there's other places to go, other things to do. And I know that that's maybe a poor, dismissive thing to say, but I'm going to say it and I will leave it. I can't, I won't. I told you I'd give some spoilers. So here they come. If you haven't watched The Mandalorian, then you're going to want to plug your ears or skip ahead a couple of minutes. We'll see how long I am talking about. No, it won't be bad because, again, I'm a fan, not a fanboy, but I'm enough of a fan of this particular universe because there's so much of it. And, it came along very much in my youth, in my existence, and I've been there with it all along. I've never known a world without Star Wars. And so when The Mandalorian, the new season started, it's high expectations. It's an interesting show with some interesting premise. I think I called it a Western, and that's what it is. There haven't been any real Westerns on TV in a long time. It became, I don't know, unless you were a cop, you couldn't shoot at people on TV anymore, or unless you were the bad guy shooting at the cop. And I'm not sure if that was it or not, or if they just they sort of ran out of favor and in popular favor, I guess. But for whatever reason, the Western just isn't as popular as it had been in the past. And so it's certainly not been on any sort of TV. And I think this kind of makes up for it. It's definitely sort of gunslinger bounty, and all the scenes are almost all the planets that they've been to have been more desert than they have luxury and things like that. And so they went to Tatooine, which if you know anything about your Star Wars universe is the planet. It's where the Skywalkers raised Luke, and then of course he was the beginning of the story, even though they jumped back. But those original stories centered around that planet, Tatooine, depending on which kind of a nerd you are. There's some number of events that occurred on them that if you pay any attention to the movies at all, let alone a lot of attention to them as some people do, you would catch what they call Easter eggs. And these are sort of hidden little gems within the production hint at the past or give away some secret to the future sometimes, or you know, they're just things that people are watching. They're not forefront. They're not being talked about. They're in the background, or they're only shown in what is a real cameo, not the comic book description of a cameo, in it just for a second in the narrative, and only people who know will catch them. And so immediately in the episode this week, everybody's like, because the Mandalorian has to set out a quest to find his own kind, to find out how to get this baby foundling, I guess is what they're called. It's the race that Yoda is, and to back to its own kind. And so he's tasked with that quest, and there's honor, and he's a gunslinger, and there's all that stuff. And so he's going to get this baby, this child, this 50-year-old child, to back to its race. And the first place that he's told that he has to go is to Tatooine. And the any Star Wars geek is immediately going to jump on it and go, oh, well, okay, there's a lot of history there. What are we talking about? What do we get to run into? And he's already been to the planet before. He was there in the first season, but they didn't drop any bombshells, not like on this first episode of this new season. See, he's in Tatooine. He's on the planet, and immediately when he lands, there's a seed right there. There's a droid. It's Robot 4 Design 5, R4D5. R4D5, and he's right there. He's red, and that's the robot in the first movie that Luke's uncle Owen goes to buy, and the motivator is bad on it. It blows up, so they get R2D2 instead. It's probably a child kidnapping. Kansas City Amber Alert. Yep. If you're in the Kansas City area, look for a red Honda Odyssey license plate AR2992. 2112, I don't know. Yeah, something like that. I don't know, but yeah, my phone just let me know. Interrupt my thoughts on the Mandalorian. So right away, that droid's there, and if you know your Star Wars, I say, oh, that's cool. Well, that's that droid. How'd this person end up with it? You're thinking, there's a story there that they may or may not ever tell, but there's a whole bunch more story on Tatooine, including where the Mandalorians themselves are a part of, because there's one particular person that runs around in the galaxy that wears Mandalorian armor, just to get through this, because I could geek on this a little bit all day, because it's core to the Star Wars geek, for sure, the original Star Wars geek. And that's the clone that was raised by the Mandalorian. The clone, his name is Boba Fett, and he was, a lot of people believe, killed on Tatooine in Return of the Jedi when he was knocked into the Sarlacc pit when Han Solo blindly swings around and hits the jetpack, and it launches him off, and he flips. It's one of the classic screams, actually, in Hollywood, is that scream of him going over and hitting the edge of the Sarlacc pit and getting sucked in, and the Sarlacc even burps and all that. And so if you don't have any other history than the movies, you don't know that Boba Fett actually got out of that. It's in the comic books. It may be in other places. And it's been so long since I read it that I don't even know how that story concludes and whether it ties in or not. But those of us in the know or in the hope always knew or hoped that Boba Fett was still alive, that he didn't die in the Sarlacc pit. And so the first hint of that is the Mandalorian gets to this place on Tatooine, and they tell him to go to this mining community that's not on the map anymore, literally not on the map anymore. And he gets there, and there's this marshal. He's a guy called the Marshal, and he protects the town. And he wanders in, and it's Boba Fett's armor. It doesn't fit him quite right. He's too big for it. He's too tall, too skinny. But he's obviously wearing Boba Fett's armor. And then to make a long story not as short as it should have been, and to say that again, at the end of this story, the very last scene, as it's all being resolved and the Mandalorian is leaving with Boba Fett's armor because it's Mandalorian armor and it's code and he has to take it back. And if you're not a Mandalorian, you can't have it and yada, yada. And but there's somebody watching from the hill and he turns around and it's the actor. It's oh, hell, I should know his name, but I don't off the top of my head. But he's older, he's bald, he's scarred, he's dressed in native garb and carrying native weapons, but it's Boba Fett. And so it sets up a very cool, just sort of geek stuff. Obviously, if I spent some time geeking out on it, and the reason I did is because I've been desperate to talk about it to somebody, because I don't even I own a comic book shop, but I'm not over there very often because I don't own a big chunk of it. So there's not a lot of drive for me to participate. I just kind of have to kick in to pay the rent when it doesn't make the rent, and it doesn't. I haven't even had a chance to talk to anybody about it there. And I can't say anything to anybody on the social media because you don't know, somebody's going to jump on you. I've asked repeatedly, has everybody watched it yet so that I could talk about it? Well, here in my forum, I can just say, it's coming. You had to tune out for a minute if you didn't want the spoiler to hit you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the season. I was last season. It's the only reason that I subscribed to the Disney app to be able to watch The Mandalorian. That was it. That was the only thing. And I like Star Wars, but it was such a great idea. After all these years of talk of doing it, to finally get whatever, a television show, it's not on ABC or whatever. But then like I said earlier in the show, I don't think those things, they're not relevant anymore. There's a hell of a lot more people watching The Mandalorian on an app or over a website or on their phone or on an iPad than there are watching anything on save maybe the Super Bowl or something like that on normal TV anymore. It's a joke to even think that those people, that those institutions are a real influence on anything or anyone anymore, or that you would even sit. I guess there are some people that will. They trust that nightly news presentation always. Just some things to mention, just so I don't forget them, because I thought they were important, and that's what this whole thing is about, right? Just kind of bringing some ideas and people and things that I think are going on that's important. TowardAnarchy.com. Check that thing out. November 1st, that's the links for today. You can support Matthew by buying the book at the Liberty Under Attack Publications website or at Amazon there. I provided links to those. You can do that. Get the digital version. Let it be read to you, because apparently that sounds like the coolest thing ever, and that may be what I decide to do. I'm going to go check out that deal myself. I didn't know that was a deal. Multiple books and then it being, you know, multiple characters, not even just one person reading. There's a couple other links up there that I need to make sure that you noticed. As promised, Bradley Thomas, he was on last week. We talked about why socialism won't eliminate worker exploitation, just in brief, because he mentioned that he had that article coming up. So I had to make it a point to share it and to get into it. I won't dive into it because we'll talk about it the next time he's here a little bit. He'll be back again real soon. I'm going to use him in a way that I had not thought of before, because I had not thought of to do this, because I pride myself on this idea that there's very little foundation in the sense of I didn't read anybody else's philosophy to be who I am today, to understand who I am today. There's very little influence in that terms. I haven't read the great works or anything like that. And so it's really great to make that argument and to talk about things with the glorious excuse of an absence of knowledge. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I can make all sorts of mistakes and excuses, although I don't, that's the point, for having a lack of knowledge of some of these things. Because I don't. I don't. I get the core idea of them, and I came to them on my own. I didn't rely on somebody else's opinion of these things, and that includes the opinion on economics and the function of economics and my understanding of what money is and my understanding of what markets are and what goods are and what services are and how they work and how they work in free markets and what black markets are and what gray markets are. I understand all of these things simply by definition, even if I hadn't read a little bit about them here and there. But what I'm not is I'm not a trained economist in that sense, but Bradley Thomas is. And so I'm going to use him as a sounding board for some of these ideas. I've been challenged to do so. I hadn't thought to do so myself. That wasn't the point of having him here. It was just to talk with him. But I can talk with him about his, you know, his pedigree, his degree, his understanding of economics from his learned perspective. And it happened in our very first conversation. Where I do believe I'll ask him again the next time he's here. I could go back and listen again, but I'm pretty sure that he made it clear that he knew and understood more about economics and what I understand to be economics, and valued that understanding more than anything he gained from his education. I will ask him that again. That's probably maybe too much. Maybe. I'm sure he got plenty from his education, but I'm not sure that real core understanding that I have, that I learned, because I certainly didn't learn it in a classroom. We'll come back and we'll wrap these things up here on Toward Anarchy.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Rush Bar, give away a copy of the book. Let's do it right now. 1-800-313-9443. Just fifth caller. Simple as that. That's all you have to do. We'll give you a copy of it. Producer Ken will take care of it. He'll give me your info. And when I'm done with your info, I'll light it on fire and it'll be gone. I won't keep it. I don't, none of that stuff. I'll just mail it to you. And I'm happy to give them away. It's really cool. People have been enjoying them, the ones that I've given away. I've received feedback. And like I said, if you guys read the book, please pass it along to somebody else. And also leave a review for Matthew at Amazon.com if you're one of the people who's read the books. Please, 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 please do that. Hey, and to prove that I am not, it's 1-800-313-9443. This is only for the live presentations. It's only for 5 more minutes. It's the last chance to do it. And then I'll give away one across the social media. If you follow me on the social media, I will give away one more copy of it there. But what I was going to say is that I can prove that I'm not that much of a geek, even though I just burned off that time talking about The Mandalorian and talking about Star Wars. I couldn't remember off the top of my head who Boba Fett's father was, although Boba Fett is a clone, so he's not really technically a father, not in that sense, but it was Jango Fett. It just occurred to me during the break, this Jango Fett, and I can't tell you whether or not Jango Fett was actually a Mandalorian. I don't know that. I don't know Jango Fett's history, his origin at all. He was happy. He happily took that mask on and off, but I don't know about that. I don't know how deep they were into Mandalorian lore 20 years ago, 21 years ago that the movie came out, that Jango Fett first appeared on the scene. So I don't know. There's some of that stuff about keeping the hat on and the armor being alive not alive, not in that sense, more like AI kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know where all that fits in. So that just proves that I'm not that big of a geek. That's what I was trying to say. Next week on the show is Ram Dennison, the creator of these wonderful documentaries. I had him on the show before about what happened in Vegas, right? And then the new one is Money Machine. And so we will have a conversation that we're actually taping that one because he's on a flight next weekend to actually finally, after all these cancellations, even though the premiere has happened and it's happened well and the movie has received great reviews and is being seen and watched by people, they've missed out on some of festivals and stuff like that. They've been canceled, and one of them is actually really happening, and I believe that it was this weekend that he has to fly and do all the stuff that and I he was like, oh well, maybe we could do it earlier that day, and I'm like, man, you're talking about flying and COVID and premiering your movie and this and that, and I'm like, you don't need to be worried about trying to make my hour show just to, you know, just hang out and chat. You got some other stuff going on right there. Why don't we do it earlier in the week? So we're doing that. So Ram Dennison next week and much, much more. Oh, gosh. Foster Gamble coming up the week after that right here on Toward Anarchy. So stick around for all that and more. Thanks so much.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.